WATH Athens.
Good morning, folks. It is 9:06. This is Stephen Figel, and it's time for Party Line here on Mix 97.3 FM and 970 WATH. This morning's guest, Athens Mayor Steve Patterson, who cruised to victory last November for a third term as our mayor, getting 81% of the vote. The beginning of his third term as mayor has been really eventful, to say the least. He's participated in numerous ribbon cuttings, including the opening of the new Eastside Solar Project, which we'll talk about a little bit here in a little bit. He was also at an event I attended a couple weeks ago when a new street was unveiled in Athens, honoring the county's first black attorney, Andrew Davidson, and his spouse, Eliza, who, interesting enough, was a cook for Civil War hero Brevet Major General George Armstrong Custer. Me being a Civil War buff, that really interests me. Mayor Patterson also represented Athens on an 8-day trip to Ukraine, and it is this trip I'd like to focus on, at least initially. You told me, Mayor, in passing at one of the events we attended, that your trip was transformative. Tell us about it. Why was it transformative?
Sure. And before I jump into that, good morning, Stephen.
Good morning to you, Mayor.
Our first time together, so this will be a treat, and we'll hopefully set a tenor for how this rolls out in the future with future shows. So, this really started in November of 2022. I was attending the National League of Cities Conference in Kansas City, Missouri. It's the City Summit. That's an organization that has basically three major meetings a year. The Congressional City Conference, which is always in Washington, D.C. I just returned back from that trip. And then the City Summit is usually mid-November. And so anyway, in Kansas City, at that conference, there was a delegation of Ohio electeds that was at this reception. This was put on by the Ohio Municipal League. Another organization that I sit on the board for, Board of Trustee for OML. And during that meeting or reception, there was a group that approached several of us to talk about a program through the U.S. Agency on International Development, or USAID. And their counterpart over in Ukraine, which is called Havela. And it was basically wanting to find cities in the United States, and this group was targeting Ohio, to become a partner city with, like I said, a city over in Ukraine. And I was intrigued by this. The city of Athens, to my knowledge, we've never had an official sister city. And I know the university has many university partners around the globe. They have the University of Botswana. They have Chubu University in Japan. They have Leipzig University. So there's a lot of connections there, but I always scratch my head. It's like, well, why don't we have a partner city somewhere? So this resonated with me. I started to engage at the beginning of 2023 with one request, and that request being, I'd like to, you know, if we're going to do this, I'd like you to find a city of comparable size and equally important, because of the partnership that we have with Ohio University, find me a city in Ukraine somewhere that has a major university with some level of historic relevance. And so OU is the first institution of higher ed in the Northwest Territory. And so it was probably 2 months later, an individual whose name is Svetlana Raymer. Svetlana got back to me. She was kind of my point of contact for USAID Habela. And she said, Mayor, I found a city that I think they are willing to partner with Athens, if this is what you're interested in. And that city being Ostro, Ukraine. Ostro is in the southeast corner of the Rivne Oblast, which is basically a province or state over in Ukraine. And I started thinking, okay, that's kind of cool. We're in the southeast corner of the state of Ohio. And she said, and they're home to the Ostro Academy, which is a university, major university in Ukraine, as well as clearly in the Rivne Oblast. And she said it was established in 1576. And I'm going, huh. It was the first institution of higher ed in Ukraine. And so, again, I dove in, learned a little bit more about Ostro, and got back to Svetlana, and I said, yeah, let's do this. There was quite a bit of detail that had to go into this agreement, because we had to kind of set forth where how we wanted to engage. So this is not like a Sister Cities, Inc., you know, to where you have a, you recognize a city somewhere around the globe, and this is your partner city or your sister city. This, the agenda was through USAID, was to establish commerce connections, educational connections, healthcare connections, government connections, which was one of the key tenets of what they're trying to do, is to have cities in Ukraine understand how cities in the United States, how we govern, and how we may be similar, but how we may be dissimilar. Because, you know, if you stop and reflect on that, you know, when Ukraine was under the Soviet Union, everything was centralized. Everything came from the Kremlin on down. And in the 90s, when everything collapsed, and in 2014, which is when the Revolution of Dignity took place in Independence Square in Kiev, that was when Ukraine finally reestablished their constitution. And, you know, began learning, you know, putting together self-governance to some degree, at least local governance. So that was a big piece of this, too, to establish this. And we had an official signing in the mid-year of 2023, to where it was across the pond, but the mayor of Ostro, whose name is Yuri Yehudka, and his several of his city council members and myself and several of our city council members had a Zoom official signing of this document. And shortly after that, I got to work on following through with that agreement between our cities and started planning a trip to head over to visit Ostro, which, as you just indicated, I left here on the 16th of February. And the plan was to be there through the 24th of February, which has significance unto itself, because the 24th of February marks the two-year mark of the unjust invasion by Russian forces, which has a lot of significance for those in Ukraine and Ostro. So it was a full packed every day doing something during that mission, spent a day with the Ostro Academy and understanding the Academy. I had requested that we put together it wasn't a lecture, although we called it a lecture, but I wanted to engage with the students and kind of get a sense. That's probably the former faculty member and me at OU, just sitting there going, okay, I want to understand their position on things. I want them to know about, you know, home rule, which was really foreign to them. How does a municipality home rule itself? Which we do, with challenges sometimes, but we do. And right before this engagement was to take place, from my second experience when in country, over in Ukraine, the air raid sirens went off and we had to go into an underground fallout shelter. You know, the students knew exactly what to do. They marched on down to the room in which we would continue this engagement. I'm sitting there going, whoa, okay, let's go. And went down there as well and proceeded to, under air raid alert anyway, you know, continue engaging with this group of 50 to 60 students underground. And one thing that was really telling is that this is their new lived experience over there, to where they go through this, you know, several times a week, sometimes every day. And this is in Western Ukraine. So this is not over in the Donbas region. This is not over in areas where they're constantly under threat of actual shelling that's going on. So
different perspective, and I don't think anybody here can totally fully grasp how different that must be on a daily basis, where things like this happen and it's accepted as a matter of course, part of daily life. And yet here you are coming from where we live, being exposed to something like that for the first time. I would have loved to have seen the difference in mannerisms. I can tell you how I would react. I'd probably be walking pretty quickly. And as far as the students, it was just part of their day.
Yeah, it was part of their day.
Gosh, that's sobering.
Well, it is sobering. It was completely sobering for me. And you and I kind of spoke a little bit about this a while ago. And so I also got to engage in an elementary school, in a lyceum over there. And that was really telling as well, just the emotions you can see with the children. Again, this is K through 12. And I noticed it in their artwork. You know, I'm walking in the halls like any school, you know, there's art all over the place. But it wasn't art that you would typically see in the intermediate school where my two daughters go to school.
No balloons and rainbows.
No. Everything is fairly dark. You know, there was one image, a painting that a child had done where it was a duck standing beside a pond. And, you know, as you just indicated, typically there'd be the sun was out and a rainbow, and here's this duck. This duck it was gray skies. The duck was standing by the pond, and there was a teardrop coming down this duck's face. So much of the artwork that I was seeing over there, and I took photos of it, was dark because of the world in which these young kids are having to live. The other thing that was really startling for me was engaging with this group of about six students, and they were teaching me or explaining to me about Ukrainian heritage and customs and traditions, which was really pretty cool to see. And then this one individual, young man who was probably 14, was describing the embroidery, the very traditional embroidery on shirts and on tablecloths and whatnot. And there was something that was just kind of a little bit off about this individual. And after we left the room with all the students talking about different aspects of their lives, we walked out of the classroom, and one of the teachers leaned over and mentioned to me that young man's father had died just 6 days prior on the front lines fighting over there. And that was shocking. Another thing that was shocking was going into a room they call the safety room where they're training kids. This is what an air raid siren sounds like. This is where you go. This is a gas mask. Here's how you use it. All these different things that, you know, you don't see that in our schools. You know, we don't teach kids how to use a gas mask. Then there was this bookcase, and in this bookcase there was a basketball, a box of chocolates, a stuffed animal, a purse, a CD case, all these different things. And the principal of the school opened them up, and there was inert, but there was, you know, C8 and detonating devices inside these items that are at nighttime or being out on the Eastern Front are being deployed in communities and set out for kids to pick up and open up or play with, and all of a sudden these things blow up. Mm-hmm. That was difficult to sit and reflect on that. So yeah, but then there were some really fun things to experience while I was there. When I say fun, it's really uplifting things that I experienced. One was they have a forestry class at that lyceum where they're doing the best they can to reforest a lot of their city and the outside the city itself, much like you see here in Athens with, you know, so many people are, you know, cherish and love our trees. You know, we've been planting a lot of trees of late, and that's what they do over there as well. So you know, life is moving along over there in Ukraine, but it's certainly with a very, very heavy cloud over them.
Will there be a time in the next year or so when you can expect to have a delegation come to visit us?
We're working on that. It's going to take time. It's a little more challenging for electeds in Ukraine to make that travel, to make a trip like that, but we're hoping that we can get Mayor Yehudka to come to Athens. I had two translators with me the entire time. I'm doing the best I can with Duolingo to try and learn Ukrainian. It's not easy. I've been doing it for, I guess, I'm being told 71 days straight. So I am getting better, still a long ways to go. So anyway, my point being is that we'd have to make those arrangements. And I've met with several people who live here who are from Ukraine and are fluent in English. So I think that we wouldn't have that difficult time having people help with translation. So yeah, it'd be great to have Yuri come over here.
Well, I can certainly understand more what you meant by the term transformative. You saw a lot of things that we over here never see, a lot of things that we take for granted that over there are definitely not part of their day-to-day life. This whole business of war being a part of day-to-day life, being exposed to it, it's rather a shocking concept, not one that any of us would be accustomed to or easily get used to in any sense of the word. Well, very interesting. Do you anticipate ever going back, or is this a one-time trip for you?
No. I would like to return, at some point, not in the near future, but to return over there to continue to reinforce a lot of the relationships that I made, like a lot of commerce over there. I engaged with an individual who was in a wood fabricating shop, beautiful state-of-the-art shop, by the way, called Ascadia. And to see what they're doing and what they're making, and he was kind of describing that we make school desks or desks, we make tables, we make all these different facets. And I started thinking, okay, well, there's a new high school that's going to be built here in Athens. Mm-hmm. And is there a possibility of at least introducing, these businesses with things going on in Athens and vice versa? Stuart McDonald, a stringed instrument company here in Athens, sent me over with a couple stringed instrument kits, and I was able to get them in the hands of individuals or organizations in Austro to hopefully start some bilateral relationships there. I mentioned the pawpaw seeds. It'd be really cool if someday, this is going to take a lot of time, right? But if someday there's a pawpaw grove growing over in Austro and they too have pawpaws and maybe they make their own pawpaw beer, pawpaw jams, pawpaw whatever, and can have some pretty cool back and forth relationship. I know full well that pawpaws don't last that long, at least the fresh fruit, so we have to figure that one out. But there was a lot of that transpired while I was there, so I'd like to certainly see that continuing. And then the continued governmental relationship with Austro. One of the things that was pretty fascinating, Athens City Council, City Council is comprised of 7 council members and 1 president of council. Over there, they have 36 council members, which was just mind-blowing for a city that's, their population's 15,000. So they're smaller than Athens, but, still a good-sized city. And I'm going, 36 council members? I attended a council meeting. I actually spoke at length at a council meeting. And watching how they conduct their business, that it works and it flows. And I was like, okay, because I could only imagine 36. How do you get agreement on 36 with 36 individuals? But they do it.
Oh, and the amount of topics that must get brought up from 36 different voices and 36 different opinions, I can just imagine.
Right.
Well, you ran for re-election. You successfully were elected. As I mentioned at the top of the show, 81% of the votes cast went to you, sir. Quite a mandate for you. During the election, you mentioned that your goals were expanded housing availability, working to further decarbonize the city by introducing more solar energy, and economic development and expansion of the business portfolio in the city of Athens. I'll leave it up to you to decide which one of those you'd like to talk about first, and we'll work our way through the list.
Yeah, I mean, we can start with economic development. You've got a neighbor just down the street here.
We sure do.
Yes, you do. And it's a beautiful building that's going up, and we're referencing, of course, Memorial Healthcare System. And they approached us gosh, it had to have been 2019, maybe, for the first time, and said, you know, we're really thinking about opening up a freestanding emergency room hospital in Athens. We've identified Columbus Road. They'd already, you know, done their due diligence. And, you know, I was supportive right away because, you know, Stephen, I've always reflected on our position in Southeast Ohio, and in particular in Appalachian Southeast Ohio, with the strong Ohio health system at Oblenus Hospital. We have Holzer Clinic that is here that has a strong presence and is doing well. I've always kind of envisioned, and not to forget, we have the Heritage College of Osteopathic Medicine, which is the largest osteopathic medicine school in the state of Ohio. It's one of the largest medical schools in the state of Ohio when you look at the number of students that they graduate annually. That, you know, we should just become a healthcare hub in Southeast Ohio.
Not a bad hub to have.
No, not at all. And so... When Memorial Healthcare System came to us and said, this is what we're thinking, I said, you know, we're here to help and we're all in whatever way we can. And we certainly helped them navigate through some hurdles. You know, the Hocking River runs right behind it. And when you have something like that, you're sitting, you know, in or very close to the floodplain. And so that posed some challenges. We were able to help them work through that with FEMA as well as with the Corps of Engineers, and voila, I mean, we just did a walkthrough, gosh, 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, you know, not too long ago, and walked through the hospital as it is right now, and it's pretty amazing inside how they've constructed. The whole thing was done as modules that came here on flatbeds and just almost like watching Lego, you know, and I'm a big geek when it comes to Lego Master. I enjoy watching that show. But, you know, they're just sitting there putting these things together. And in the walkthrough, it was impressive to see what this hospital is actually going to look like in its finished product, which, as they're indicating, isn't that far off in the future.
Do you know, for instance, how many jobs, obviously good-paying jobs, this is going to bring into the community?
160 with an average salary of $130,000 a year.
So not to mention, are we going to have another provider for quality health care in Athens serving the surrounding counties as well? There is going to be a number of jobs coming in here with good salaries. There's a lot of what you've just mentioned. Those are all win-win situations. Can never have too much health care, that's for sure. And I also understand that they are still on track for a late spring ribbon cutting.
Yeah, that's what I understand as well, that they are on track. They're, you know, every time I drive by, they're hustling, you know, as they put this thing together. So that's the game plan. So that's a big win with economic development. And then we have a lot of smaller wins as well. Out on East State Street, the new Starbucks / Chipotle's, you know, has broken ground and starting to put a retaining wall in, and then they're going to build there. Again, a smaller operation, but again, you know, jobs in the city of Athens. And then the interesting development, it's been underway for a while. The building that used to be the Follett's Bookstore, the Lostro building, is going to become a hotel right there at the corner of Court and Union, which will be rather interesting.
That's different. I had heard that was going to be retail residential. Now it's going to be a hotel.
Second and third floor will be hotel rooms. The first floor will be retail because of the way it's zoned. And they have identified a first floor tenant. They have room for another tenant to go in there as well. So more to come on that project, but that's going to create jobs, but you know, we still have a lot of work to do. A good friend of mine, Aaron Thomas, came to city council last night. DJ A-Rock came to council and has great concern, and I don't disagree with him at all, and that being that there are some antiquated sections in code that do get in the way of business development here in the city of Athens, or at least make it more challenging. And I think that one of the things that City Council and the Planning Commission need to get work on is looking very hard at the current zoning and what are the things that we can do to encourage further development as opposed to discourage development. So again, we'll be you'll hear more and more about that as time goes on with potential zoning code changes. On the housing front, you know, Stephen, that's a national issue. It's certainly an issue in Athens, so I'm not, you know, avoiding the issue.
During your last visit, I think you mentioned that there was 80% of the housing stock in around Athens is rental property.
Rental units. Right, so that would also include the large multi-unit rental complexes, but it's true.
Well, with all the students, Ohio University always going to figure prominently in Athens no matter what we do here. So that's always going to be a factor. But I assume the type of housing you're talking about, these doctors, these technicians, the nurses, everybody that's working at these hospitals, plus the associated medical infrastructure that's likely to build around it, they're going to need residential housing.
They are. And, you know, so coming off of our conversation about economic development, think about that for a minute. How are you going to have economic development if you don't have housing for a new business to say, hey, there is housing stock here in Athens? So that's a challenge. We have gotten very creative legally with some tools that we can use, such as tax increment financing, to create incentives for a developer to where, let's say you have an open green space. University Estates is a great example, where there's still a lot of open space that hasn't been developed, but there's no street there yet. There's, you know, streets that can be tied into to create a new street, but if there's no infrastructure in place, you know, no water, sewer, storm, the roadway itself, that gets really, really expensive, especially in today's economy, to where an affordable housing, whatever, and that's such a nebulous term, too.
Sure is.
Whatever that is it when a developer has to build all the infrastructure too, those houses don't become affordable houses. Those are going to be, you know, $250,000 to $450,000 homes just because of having to put those other amenities in place. So we do have what's referred to as TIFs, that we can use TIFs. There are some other state programs, Ohio First Time Homeowners Tax Credit. There's several other tax incentives that are out there that we're continually exploring with developers to help us build more housing. We have the new community authority that's been established where the Ridges, you know, which is the Kirkbride building unto itself, that's 700,000 square foot of space. It needs a lot of work. You know, it's going to need basically a 200-plus million dollar investment into the entire facility to bring it back up to proper code and standards and make it livable. But it could also in the future create up to 700 housing units in that facility alone, as well as the grounds around it that have been drawn into this new community authority, which is a state program under Ohio Revised Code, to where the university that owns the Ridges, the buildings themselves, the Kirkbride building, can be put into this new community authority, which has a governing body that has city electeds that sit on the board, that has university individuals on the board, as well as county individuals on the board to make this whole thing work. But the ultimately, if successful in creating, you know, housing, retail, business space in the entire complex, which is kind of the plan, where it becomes mixed use, the tenants over time, they become the governing body. So it almost turns into an HOA, you know, if you will, to where they kind of they run it, they govern it, you know, what colors can you paint the exterior of this building, whatever, you know, do we want another playground over here, or those types of things. They'll be the ones to figure that all out. We visited a Kirkbride building up in Traverse City, Michigan, that had been completely revamped, remodeled into same thing. Housing had the same wings that the Ridges building has.
Was that the old hospital?
It was. It was the state mental hospital, which back in the day, I hate the term, and I'm a health psychologist by training, you know, it was the Athens Asylum.
That's quite a campus. I was actually up in Traverse City 3 or 4 years ago and toured that facility. It was an old hospital that had been converted. They used all of the existing buildings and reused them.
You've seen it, yeah.
Yes, I have.
Isn't it amazing?
It is amazing. It's also very beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a break. It's 9:36. We're visiting with Mayor Steve Patterson of Athens, and this is Party Line, and we'll be back in just a moment.
This is business analyst Jill Schlesinger. In today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in your life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
All rise.
In a Massachusetts courtroom, the judge concluded that the defendant shredded evidence in the case. The defendant, Bernie Marino, who was sued for stealing his employees' pay. So before the trial, Marino shredded the evidence against him. Shadiness is a pattern with Marino, who quietly supported amnesty for millions of illegals, but now pretends otherwise. You can tell a lot about someone's character by what he does when no one's watching. Bernie Marino flunks that test. And Secretary of State Frank LaRose is no better. LaRose quietly spent your tax dollars to benefit himself politically. And LaRose changed Ohio's ballot language to affect the election results. It was a breach of public trust. Bernie Marino and Frank LaRose, if they're this sneaky and corrupt in Ohio, just imagine if they go to Washington.
Buckeye Leadership Fund, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. BuckeyesLead.org.
Southeast Ohio weather.
Temperatures today top out at 52 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Southwest wind 15 to 20, some gusts near 30 miles per hour. The wind continues tonight, 36 the overnight low. And then for your Wednesday, 55 and mostly sunny. West wind about 10 to 20. And then Thursday, 21 the low, 46 the high, and sunshine. 13 News, I'm meteorologist Brian Hughes.
Thank you very much, Brian. It is now 9:39, and we're back. This is Party Line with Mayor Steve Patterson. Late last year, you and I were at another event. This was at a ribbon cutting of the solar array, the Eastside Solar Project, which I found rather fascinating. I'm going to mispronounce it, the photovoltaic cells that were being produced around the farmer's market and such. And this grand opening, there were a lot of people there, which, again, to me, I don't know why I was surprised, but, you know, solar energy is a big part of your agenda. Tell us about it.
Sure. It is a big part of my agenda. You know, when I look at what we need to continue to do to protect our environment, be good stewards of our environment, but also to continue down the path of decarbonizing the city of Athens, this solar array was a big component with what we saw that we needed to do. You know, our largest energy consuming accounts is in the city of Athens are the wastewater treatment plant, number one energy consumer. It's running 24/7 with a lot of large pumps and motors and whatnot. The water treatment plant is number two. Number three is the community center because of the energy consumption there, and then other mercantile accounts.
And both of those facilities, as I remember, are actually being run off of that new facility.
They are for the new solar. So we Well, we got to work back in 2010. I wasn't on city council, but Alahu Ghazni, who was a city council member at large, you know, heard about having municipal solar panels put up. And so the solar panels that are beside where Farmers Market sets up now, the original solar array, that was a 2010 project, and it was very interesting to see that happen. And then we didn't have any new solar for quite some time, but in 2017, 2018, with the rehabilitation work that was done at the water treatment plant down at West State Street Ball Fields in that area, we, with the rehab of that facility that we knew we needed to do, we intentionally worked with Third Sun Solar to put solar panels on that as well. It's 178 kilowatt solar array. So it's a fairly substantial solar array. Immediately, and that's behind the meter, so that solar is feeding straight into that building. We just wove that into the renovation work that was going on there. We found ourselves saving about 45 to 50% of our energy consumption, you know, in some cases 60% with that building unto itself. We also worked with AEP when they were looking at doing what's called a microgrid, which is basically a battery system. We approached AEP. They were looking to do two pilots in the state. The first pilot was the Columbus Zoo, and so we really pushed hard saying, look, I've got a major asset for the city, our water treatment plant. We have a solar array with that, and we have space. You know, would you consider putting this down there? They ultimately landed on Athens, and so there's a backup battery system to where we could actually extend the solar-produced energy with the water treatment plant. Roll forward to, as you just indicated, you know, it was in the 2021 timeframe, we really got to work in figuring out, let's put a larger solar array down by the wastewater treatment plant, the community center, as well as the seasonal swimming pool and other small accounts, and landed on the design that you see today, which is a 2.1 megawatt solar array that is, you know, by and large powering the water, the wastewater treatment plant. We believe it's going to power about 90% of the energy for our seasonal swimming pool this summer, because the pool's only open during daylight hours. So it'll be providing a lot of energy there, certainly to the community center. There's a dashboard, and I don't know, I need to go back and check to see if this dashboard is on the city's website, but it's basically three dashboards, one for the solar array in front of the city swimming pool, one for the solar array that's on the roof of the community center, and then the third one being the larger array that is down there, you know, by the wastewater treatment plant, the former large dog park. But each one of them, you can sit there and look to see how much energy is being produced at any point in time. It also is interesting because it gets you other tangible or examples that you can relate to, like how much fuel savings has this produced in terms of cars on the highway? How many trees is it the equivalent of having planted? How much water has been saved because of the solar array? And one that really struck me, and it's because, you know, Athens really prides itself on being a tree city USA and planting, you know, trees more frequently than we have in the past in our city parks and elsewhere. From it, within, I remember looking at it at March 7th, I believe it was. So for the month, we had already planted over 360 trees, the equivalent of 360 trees within a 7-day period of time. I believe that it's closer to, since the system was, the switch was flipped on this solar array, it's closer to 6,000 trees have been planted. And so the system's only been live for, what, 2 months, something like that?
Well, you mentioned during your speech at the dedication, and I wish I had taken better notes, but per capita, the amount of consumption per person in Athens versus the rest of the country was substantially less. I can't remember those numbers, but I'll bet you have them top of mind.
I have them pretty much top of mind. For per capita in the city of Athens, it's a little more than 5 tons per capita in terms of carbon emissions. When you look at things at the state level, the state is 20.2 tons per capita, and federally it's 19.9. We're with the mission that we're on to continue to decarbonize, changing our car fleet from fossil fuel vehicles to EV vehicles. We have 2 or 3 police cruisers that are on their way, which are going to be EV police cruisers in the city of Athens. And we'll continue down that road. We're basically chasing Tacoma, Washington. Tacoma, Washington, as I understand it, has the lowest carbon emissions per capita of any city in the United States.
And you rattled off some projects that are going on downtown, yeah, which are going to contribute to building on that legacy.
We've got solar that'll be included in the Armory renovation. There's going to be solar on the fire station headquarters, which is a new building being built. And there will be solar in the future on the 6th floor of the parking garage. So, you know, we're on a mission, you know, to sit there. Anything I look at, I'll look at a water tower that the city owns and go, huh, I know there's a pump that's near that water tower to get the water into that thing. Why don't we put solar on top of the water tower to drive down our energy consumption from the pump that's having to fill this thing? So we're constantly looking at ways in which we can become more fiscally responsible with taxpayer dollars, because it's the taxpayers that pay those electric bills through our income tax.
And ultimately, the money that you're saving from getting energy from these arrays can be spent elsewhere.
That's correct. That's correct.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of interesting things going on in Athens. I confess to the mayor, being a Meigs County resident, that I am still getting to know Athens, and it's something that I look forward to spending years doing, because I plan on being here a good long time, and I look forward to speaking to you more down the line. You and I have already committed to some type of a regular visit schedule so we can learn more about what's going on, what's challenging, as well as the successes like we've just mentioned here today. Mayor, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with us this morning?
No, other than, we'll continue to engage, and maybe one of these days we can I can twist your arm to, you know, spend half a day in the life of the mayor and come and see what my daily life looks like. But we could probably just as easily do it on air as well. It's a joy doing this show again. It's been a while. It's fun being back, and it's fun being able to inform our public of the whole sundry of things that are going on in the city of Athens as we continue to march forward under my administration.
Well, we thank you for stopping by this morning. We look forward to future visits. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another edition of Party Line with Mayor Steve Patterson. Have a great day.